Hands off Venezuela. Those are the words from the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, to the U.S. The problem is the U.S. is probably not listening. It has imposed sanctions on state oil firm PDVSA. In this edition of The Debate, we will look at the forced removal that the U.S. is trying to impose on Venezuela and its president, Nicolas Maduro. Another important issue is the promise of Russia and how it has vowed to protest or protect Maduro. Is there a chance of a U.S.-Russia clash?
Sanctions relief for PDVSA.
Russia and China say sanctions announced on Venezuela by the U.S. government are illegal and set the stage for a deepening of the crisis in the country.
History has shown that external interference or sanctions only complicate the situation instead of helping solve practical problems. The sanctions imposed by the relevant countries on Venezuela will lead to a deterioration in the livelihood of Venezuela, and the countries should be held responsible for the serious consequences.
Russia, on the other hand, vowed to do everything to support the legitimate government of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and accused the U.S. of attempting to topple his government.
What the United States and their closest allies are doing with regards to Venezuela is, of course, very worrying, crudely violating all norms of international law and essentially taking a direct course and ousting the legal authority in this Latin American nation.
Lavrov's assertion was enforced when U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton appeared at a White House briefing with a notepad which read, 5,000 troops to Colombia. Colombia neighbors Venezuela. The Trump administration imposed sanctions on Venezuelan oil company PDVSA, curbing the OPEC members' crude exports to the United States. Washington has also handed control of Venezuela's bank accounts in the United States to the self-appointed president, Juan Guaido. He has the backing of the U.S. and its Western and regional allies. Guaido claims Maduro stole the presidential vote in May and must resign to allow new, fair polls. When asked whether he would welcome an international military intervention in Venezuela, he'd previously said that all options are on the table. Now he seems to have changed his tone a bit.
It's a difficult dilemma for Venezuela. What do they want? To die of hunger? That their children cry in the streets and have no education? Or an extreme option of using force? We don't want one or the other.
Venezuela has sunk into economic and political turmoil under President Maduro, with inflation rising to 10,000,000% this year, leading to food shortages, protests, and mass immigration. Maduro blames the country's problems on Washington's desire for regime change in the country.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, joins us from Phoenix. And from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker joins us from San Francisco. I'd like to welcome you both. And let me start first with you, Mike Harris. Is the U.S. trying to topple the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro? Or is the U.S. After regime change, to put it in another way?
Well, they're out to topple Maduro, and regime change is the vehicle that they're using to get there. If you look at what the U.S. has done globally, particularly in Ukraine, where they had invested $5 billion to depose the Yanukovych regime, they're doing the same thing to Venezuela as we speak. They're trying to get the Maduro regime out of there. The problems, the financial problems, the economic problems that Maduro regime is experiencing have been caused by the U.S. They're very, very, very good at this.
What are your thoughts on this, Richard Becker? At this point, we're seeing a major push by the U.S. It appears that they've ramped up this regime change agenda there in Venezuela in the past, especially in the past week, with the most recent being the sanctioning of a state-owned oil company, PDVSA. Have you seen this type of pressure being exerted in such a short amount of time for something that is, in some sense, illegal?
No, they're charging forward. The Trump administration, and particularly the gang of war criminals and fascists who are running U.S. foreign policy now, and I don't use those words lightly. I'm talking about Pompeo, John Bolton, and now the addition of Elliot Abrams. Elliot Abrams, we should remember, was a collaborator, close collaborator and enabler of the Guatemalan regime of Rios Montt, which was found guilty of genocide against the Mayan people in Guatemala. He was an agent of the Contras and really a director of the Contras in Nicaragua, who killed 75,000 people, and was found guilty, pleaded guilty actually, to lying to Congress about this, but then was pardoned by the late President George H.W. Bush. And then you have Pompeo, who's a complete thug. We have Bolton, again, who called for, once when he was asked what's his policy, U.S. policy toward North Korea, said no North Korea, in other words, wiping out a whole country. So these are the people who are running the show now with Trump, and this is really a very, very dangerous gang who will resort to anything. And they claim that they're supporting democracy and freedom for the Venezuelan people, while at the same time they're trying to starve them to death as a means to bring about regime change. So, and when we hear them say things like Maduro is a dictator, Maduro was elected in the last election with 68% of the vote. The right wing boycotted, but 46% of the population did vote. In the last US election, in November of 2018, 47% of the U.S. population voted. So, and then to say that and never use the word dictator in regard to Saudi Arabia, but only for governments that are the target of the U.S. empire.
There were some examples there, Mike Harris, that Richard Becker cited. I think the one about the voting comparison in terms of the results. What do you think, the comparison being made, Venezuela and Maduro, the percentages?
Well, I agree, and I agree with Mr. Becker's statement there that the U.S. Department of State and the U.S. Foreign policy is being run by the same group of neocon thugs that have wreaked so much havoc in the Middle East and other places around the world. Now, the unique thing I want to point out about Venezuela at this time is that you look at U.S. foreign policy adventurism. It's been in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya. All of these places are great oil producers. They have very, very large known reserves of oil. Venezuela has the largest known reserves of oil. And the U.S. is trying to depose Maduro so that they can put a puppet in there so they can secure this supply of oil. The problem the U.S. has is that the U.S. dollar, because of the quantitative easing that the Federal Reserve did, there's too many dollars floating around out there. China and Russia, India, South Africa, Brazil have formed the BRICS. They've got a competing solution to the SWIFT system. The banking system in the West, as we know it, is in trouble as a result of this. So what the U.S. is trying to do is to secure the world's biggest suppliers of oil in order to force the world to continue using the U.S. dollar as the primary reserve currency in spite of what Russia, China, India, Brazil, and South Africa are doing. That's the bigger game here. So the U.S. is trying to do these things. They will stop at anything, nothing. There's nothing they won't do to maintain the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. That is the end game for them. If they lose that, it's over, it's done. They'll all be hung if that happens.
Okay, so there is a different look at this, aside from what the mainstream media is reporting. Richard Becker, what do you think? Is this what the U.S. is after, the oil reserves of Venezuela, in order to preserve the dominance of the U.S. dollar? And is the U.S. in that much trouble if it doesn't?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One, I think definitely to secure the control of world oil. That's been a strategic objective. You can go back and read the memoirs and the communications during World War II, while the war was raging, when FDR was sending messages out to all the U.S. embassies in the world in the middle of this combat, deadly combat, saying, secure for our oil companies concessions wherever oil is available. So this has been going on a long time. I think the other objective, though, here in regard to Venezuela is to finish the job of defeating the progressive governments, overthrowing the progressive governments consolidating, or we should say reconsolidating, U.S. domination, U.S. imperial domination over Latin America and over the entire Western Hemisphere in preparation for what the national security strategy in December 2017 outlined as the main thrust of U.S. policy, the main task of U.S. policy, which was to take on and defeat China and Russia, and particularly China, and to turn back its development and its rise as a world power that could compete with the United States.
One of those world powers is Russia, Mike Harris. And one thing happened last month, and that was two Russian strategic bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons landed in Venezuela. And obviously the U.S. was very, very angry about that move. And Russia has provided military support to Maduro since years ago, since the year 2013 is what I have here. This is kind of too close to home. Is that why we're seeing such ramped up action by the U.S. when it comes to Venezuela?
Well, that's one of the reasons. There's something called the Monroe Doctrine. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Monroe Doctrine says we'll not tolerate any foreign military intervention in the Western Hemisphere. And so they're pulling that out of the bag right now. Russia took a very, very bold move by putting those two blackjack bombers down in Venezuela. And by the way, those are world-class nuclear-capable bombers. Nothing touches them. They are the best of the best. So this really scared the U.S. establishment a bit, who's trying to prop up the dollar, trying to secure this, trying to codify their empire here in the West, and to keep it locked down as a U.S. set of assets here. They've taken their eye off of the Western Hemisphere while they've been monkeying around in the Middle East for so long. So they've really got some catch up to do. They were caught a bit with their pants down when the Russians put those bombers down there, and now they're overreacting to what Russia done. So the U.S. has got themselves in a pickle, but in my opinion, the U.S. action down there is going to fail. And this is going to slip through their fingers. And by the way, the banking system is really the key to this, because the Bank of England denied returning $1.2 billion in gold to the Maduro government, which Maduro government deposited with the Bank of England. So you know that the bankers are in on this. This cannot be emphasized enough.
Why is the U.S. going to slip, as you said, and not be successful? Mike Harris.
Good question. They've got so much for me.
Yes.
Okay. They've got too much on their plate right now. Trump is trying to be an agent of change, but he's fighting the State Department, the Justice Department, the military-industrial complex establishment there. I don't believe that Trump is backing this. I don't think he has a choice. The same like when he wanted to withdraw from Syria, and they said, no, you can't. You've got to stretch it out. They've got their own agendas. And this is not—we're not living in a republic anymore. We're living in some sort of bureaucratic—I don't know what to define this government that we're in now. But it's not the will of the people, because this is not what the American people want. It's up to the American people now to put pressure on our political establishment to stop the nonsense, to stop the foreign meddling. That's why we elected Trump, because he wasn't going to entangle us anymore. But I think that the U.S. is going to stumble on this one, and I can't disclose why at this time.
Maybe next week?
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll invite you for that. Okay. So, Richard Becker, you know, Russia has said we're going to stand by Maduro, even though Russia has denied reports that it had sent 500 of its special forces that certain reports indicated were mercenaries to protect Maduro. It still shows how Russia is out there, and it does have investments, major investments in Venezuela, that is going to protect Maduro. Do you think that this is at with all means possible, even if it means military protection of Maduro? And if so, wouldn't that be Russia be headed down a collision course with the U.S.?
Yeah, and I don't think it's at all clear that Russia would intervene in that kind of a way. I think that's a question, and it certainly would indicate the possibility, or lead to the possibility, of a global conflagration. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I do have to say that Trump, I think, has turned over running this policy, this regime change policy, to Pompeo and Bolton and now Elliot Abrams. But he's been extremely hostile on his own toward Venezuela. And on a number of occasions, it's been reported in a way that's undeniable, and a number of occasions has raised in his inner circle the possibility of military action, in other words, an invasion, an assault on Venezuela. I think the point that Bolton had that yellow pad with 5,000, it was not an accidental that the media saw that. He wanted the media to see that. And Colombia is the largest recipient, has been the largest recipient of U.S. military aid, and there are at least 12 military U.S. military bases in Colombia. Colombia and Brazil have right-wing militaristic governments. They could also carry out a military assault on Venezuela. It's an extremely dangerous situation in every respect. And I think that, you know, for us in the Answer Coalition, we've had protests all over the country and are continuing to do that. And it's very important for the people of the United States to know that this is not in their interest, that they should not believe the demonization of Maduro, that this demonization goes on every time as a prelude to war. It's a demonization that we saw in Libya, in Iraq, against Iran earlier, against Vietnam earlier, against the Central American countries, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important for the people in the United States to take action against a new war and against the economic war that's going on against Venezuela.
Yeah, talk about that 5,000 troops to Colombia, Mike Harris. What do you think? Was it staged? And at this point, is it really the case where, as our guest Richard Becker said there, that Trump has handed over the, in some sense, foreign policy to Bolton and Pompeo, especially when it comes to Venezuela in this case?
Well, I don't think he handed it over to them. I don't think he ever had control of foreign policy. What Trump has come out and said is that he doesn't want these foreign entanglements. That was his election campaign promise. He's done everything he can to get us out of Afghanistan and out of Syria. They don't want to let go of Syria for obvious reasons. They don't want to let go of Afghanistan because they don't want to lose the opium trade, which is a $3 trillion a year business for the CIA and black operations. So, you know, these things, you know, Trump never had control of the Department of State or the CIA. And so he needs to go in there and clean house. You can't put these retreads in there like a John Bolton or a Pompeo who've been, you know, everywhere before. You've got to bring in new people, fresh blood, people who don't have the corruption and the taint on them that the existing establishment has. It's time for the U.S. to develop a completely new set of foreign policy objectives and to break out of the old paradigm that died with George H.W. Bush. It's time to end that and bring in something new. It's time to reform U.S. foreign policy from top to bottom and become more peaceful and something that is more cooperative with the rest of the world instead of trying to dominate it and crush other countries beneath their boot heel.
This is what Mike Pence said, Richard Becker. Quote, I'm quoting him, on behalf of President Donald Trump and all the American people, let me express the unwavering support of the U.S. as you, the people of Venezuela, raise your voices in a call for freedom. Nicolas Maduro is a dictator with no legitimate claim to power. The U.S. joins with all freedom-loving nations in recognizing the National Assembly as the last vestige of democracy in your country. I mean, this is like an invitation for an uprising. Is the U.S. not concerned about the consequences of what this may bring?
That is true. They are not concerned. The leaders of the United States do not care about the people of Venezuela, nor do they care really about the people of the United States. These leaders are thoroughly corrupt servants of the big banks, oil companies, and the military-industrial corporations. That's who they serve. They pretend to serve the interests of the United States, but that is completely false. And again, I want to go back to this point. Pence says Maduro is a dictator. Well, even if you argued, and really there's no evidence of this at all, many international organizations have certified the fairness and the transparency, unlike the United States, the transparency of elections in Venezuela. But even if you disagreed with that and you said, well, it wasn't a completely fair election, why is he a dictator and MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince who's running Saudi Arabia is not, and where they've never had an election. So it's all about interest, and it's all about getting back the oil of Venezuela. The U.S. has control of the oil of many, many countries through cooperation or domination or military assault. But they want the oil of Venezuela, and they want to put out once and for all the progressive developments in Latin America that threatened U.S. Monroe Doctrine domination. And we should point out that the Monroe Doctrine is a thoroughly colonial doctrine that says the United States can decide what the relations are that Latin America and the whole Western Hemisphere have with other countries.
Mike Harris, I'm looking at Guaido's highlights of who he is. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. And the website that reported this, the rest of the page was just blank. I mean, that wasn't by design, because there's not much that we can say about him. 33-year-old, he's officially led the opposition for 3 weeks. What do you think?
Well, he's a nothing. He's a nobody. He's somebody the U.S. picked out of the hat in order to put up there and say that this is your new president here. This is the most contrived thing I've seen since the U.S. Installed the Shah in Iran, and it's going to have a pretty much the same result. He's going to turn out to be a much more brutal dictator and have a secret police and do all the things that the U.S. does in order to maintain control over a population they're attempting to subjugate. This is what the United States does. The United States is on the wrong side of history and has been for a very, very long time. And it's time for the U.S. population, U.S. citizens, to rise up and tell our government we've had enough of this nonsense. We don't want to take it. We don't want to play by your set of rules, because they are abusing the people in this country. We've got a homelessness problem like we've never had before. We've had the opium war come home to our country. We have an opioid epidemic. These people don't care about anybody or anything except their own interest. Pompeo's got to go. Bolton's got to go. The entire Department of State and the CIA has to go. These are the problems. This is what's going to be the downfall of the United States and the destruction of our republic. In fact, like I said earlier, we no longer have a republic. We've got a bunch of unelected bureaucrats who dictate what our foreign policy is going to be in spite of the will of the people. It's time to stop this nonsense and retake our government.
And finally, a question goes to you there, Richard Becker. Michael Pompeo holds a meeting at the UN and says, pick a side. What's going to happen there, Richard Becker?
Well, I mean, this is the thuggish foreign policy exemplified by Pompeo and Abrams and Bolton, all of them. It's like, you know, they sound like the mob. You know, you're either with us or you're against us, they're telling everybody, as if, you know, the whole dynamic of the world is whether or not you support the U.S. empire, whether you support their attempts to overthrow governments that they don't like, because really the fundamental reason is those are governments that want to use their own resources for their own people. That's considered the great crime in the eyes of imperialism. So, you know, it's pure thuggery. And it's intended to intimidate and to bring about regime change. And, you know, we have to take a stand against it. The big problem really is, bottom line, most of the Democrats are right there. The overwhelming majority of the Democrats have joined with the Republicans and the administration in promoting the falsity that this is some kind of struggle for democratic rights or freedom for people in Venezuela. And they've joined in what is really an imperialist offensive against the developing country.
Very well, we're fresh out of time. Thank you so much. Let me thank editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, who spoke to us from Phoenix, who may give us the answer of why the U.S. may slide, hopefully soon. And also like to thank, from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker from San Francisco. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tarvey and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.